Tonight's Big Brother 20 recap is sponsored by our friends over at True Car, who have some useful car tips that you might not be aware of, like how a coffee filter and a little bit of olive oil can clean the interior of your car. You can also remove the excess weight from your car to improve its gas mileage, and you can also place your keychain remote right underneath your chin to increase its range. Weird tips, yes, but here's a tip that might not be so weird. True Car can help you get a great deal on a used car, too. That's right. True Car is not just for buying a new car. With their certified dealer network and nationwide inventory of nearly 1 million used cars, you'll enjoy real pricing on the actual inventory and a simpler buying experience whether you buy new or used. And with True Car, you can see what other people paid, so you'll know if you're getting a good deal before you buy. And you'll also be more likely to enjoy a faster buying experience when you connect with a True Car certified dealer. So when you're ready to buy a new or used car, check out True Car to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features are not available in all states. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who can't believe Fessy nominated Scotty on Mike Bloom's birthday. I am Rob Cesarino. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Rob Has a Podcast, Big Brother 20, the gift that keeps on giving. We have a lot to talk about here tonight as Fessy became the HOH and things got pretty messy as Scotty and Brett became the nominees. JC plays a big part. Really, if JC had not yet had a breakout night, this was certainly it. And we have a lot to get to here tonight because we've got a great show here tonight. Of course, with us once again to talk about all this, Taryn Armstrong. Taryn, how are you?
Doing great, Rob. Another amazing episode of Big Brother 20. I'm just happy to be living in this world.
Yes, very exciting stuff to talk through. And we have a great, very special guest. We're so excited. We saw a lot of hype coming into tonight. We got a amazing guest with us here tonight. Surprise for everybody. Matt Liguori is here. Yes, Matt Liguori.
What's up, guys? I'm so excited you guys had me yonder and over here, over this direction.
Yes.
And just...
What is going on here?
Just me.
Matt Liguori, where are you?
Well, I'm on the West Coast, but I guess I'm in Vancouver. Got this guy here.
Yes. Oh, wait. another special guest. Wow. A treat, everybody. Jordan Parhar is here with us tonight. Jordan, how are you?
Rockin', Rob. I've never been better. I'm so happy to be back. I'm back home, guys. I'm back home. This is so exciting. I have a new name, though, Rob. Please call me Swaggy JP from now on.
Swaggy JP is here. So very, very exciting stuff. And are you guys also celebrating birthdays this weekend?
Yes, it was my birthday last Thursday. It was Matthew's birthday last Friday. So, yeah, it's just, rock star's daughter's birthday. It's birthdays all around the past few weeks in the BB world.
Summer of JP 2018.
Summer of JP 2018. So very excited to have Jordan back here with us. So a very fun night here tonight on the podcast. We'll take your questions, hashtag RHAP, as well as we go through everything. And Jordan, you made such a good call last summer when you said, I'm not going to watch Big Brother. Right before Big Brother 19, your call was on point there, but this has been a very fun bounce back summer for Big Brother.
Yeah, it really has been. I mean, we've had different HOHs all the time. I mean, we've got, I think, a good combination of really bad players and really good players. It's been, there's all newbies. We don't have one vet just rolling through the house and just misting everybody. So it's been a lot of fun. And yeah, I'm very glad. I heard we went to a Seattle Mariners game last night, and there was like a 2-hour drive to get there. And Matt and our other friend, Matt Gagan, he over there, he's sitting on my sister's bed in the corner. They told me the story of Big Brother 19. And I'm so very, just everything and what happened. And I'm just so grateful that I did not see that season. It sounded quite terrible.
Yeah. All right. But you are caught up on Big Brother 20 and ready to go.
Ready to go. I'm so happy to be here. I've got a lot to say, Rob. This is going to be fun.
Well, okay. So before we get into tonight, then, so you have caught up on everything that basically over how many days has it taken you to get caught up on what we have experienced during the Summer of Steve 2018?
Summer of Steve 2018. I got to say, by the way, Summer of Stein, what a great addition to the RHAP universe.
Eric has been locked in, and it's been a blessing that he has not yet quit the podcast yet. Another episode coming tomorrow. Get your feedback questions in.
Yeah, and, you know, analysis from the show, you get life advice and life hacks, things to do when you're going to the bathroom. It's really excellent on the Summer.
Yeah.
In terms of days, I'd say I wasn't too sure if I wanted to watch this season, but young Matthew here kept telling me, like, you got to watch. It's so good. And then so about a couple of weeks ago, I started checking it out and binging the episodes and then getting caught up with things. So I'm not fully, I haven't been watching feeds. So that's where we've got Matt. We got Taryn here. So hopefully they can help fill in any blanks that I might have in my analysis. But otherwise, yeah, I'm caught up, and I'm really liking this season. I feel like this is probably the best season of Big Brother I've seen in quite some time. And maybe I'm biased because I've been, I just binge.
Not biased.
And, it hasn't seemed like there's been any boring parts, which the past few seasons, right? It just seems like boring part. There's always these boring stretches, and we haven't seemed to have hit that yet. So it's very exciting.
Now, we have been hashtag blessed so far through 8 weeks of Big Brother. We have manifested this, and it has been such a fun ride for us. What's your big takeaways from Big Brother 20?
Big takeaways from Big Brother 20. Let's see. Sam is the gift that just keeps on giving. I think she's amazing in terms of whether it's curb stomping or offering to have everyone throw the hacker competition to her, threatening to quit. I mean, lots of really good stuff with Sam. I love Swaggy and his storyline. I think the most impressive thing about this season, though, Rob, is that I've heard a child was conceived in the house this season.
Well,
I mean,
allegedly.
That's unconfirmed. But I mean, if that has happened, I mean, I think this is locked in Big Brother 20, the greatest Summer of Steve 2018, greatest Big B season of all time, if that is actually a thing. And we'll have to wait, I guess, until the end of September to find that out.
Yes, we'll have to wait. All will be revealed eventually. We will find everything out. But yes, this season has had it all. Best soap opera on television, Big Brother 20. And Taryn, what a night we had tonight where we got this devil's love triangle of Fessy, Haley, and Mr. Steal Your Girl, Scotty.
Oh yeah, you gotta be wary of Scotty. He's gonna get in there. I do feel like the first thing I need to say is that it needs to be cleared up for the record. Haley is the reason Scotty is on the block. That Haley was completely convinced by JC that Scotty needed to go. If Haley actually didn't want Scotty on the block, Scotty would not be on the block. The edit, for some reason, did not decide to portray that. I don't want this to get lost in the revisionist history of Big Brother. Haley is the primary cause here of this move. But other than that, just, man, what a great episode. What a fantastic whole series of events.
Taryn, in the history of Big Brother, has anybody been framed in the way that Scotty has this week?
I mean, Alyssa was framed, but that was like a, you know, in the moment.
In the course of a double eviction.
Yeah, like right. It was
There's
a double
confusion.
Eviction. Scotty, I mean, certainly Ramses took the blame for a lot of things last season, but not nearly to this level. I think this is truly a one-of-a-kind thing, and this is going to go down in Big Brother history as a legendary move.
Yeah. Jordan, could you believe this as it was playing out? When you were seeing that, okay, well, and I'm not sure if you had the live feeds before you saw the episode play out tonight, but as it was coming to be, Fessy was going to get sold a bill of goods. Scotty was the one vote Scotty was not the one vote to keep Rockstar. It was Brett. Did you think that there was any percent chance that this plan would work?
I mean, Faute has just been so, how should we describe this, Matt? Terrible this season. So, I mean, everything they try to do just it doesn't go their way because they have no idea what's going on. So, I mean, Matt was updating me on what was going on in the feeds. So I didn't see it. I wanted to see it with my own eyes tonight, but my goodness, this is just, it's just embarrassing. It's so terrible. I can't believe it. I feel bad. I mean, Taryn says that Haley could have stopped it. I mean, from the edit tonight, I felt like, oh my gosh, poor Haley. So I'm glad at least she had a chance to stop it and she didn't. So at least this wasn't all on Fessy. But man, level six just keeps riding high. But I don't know. I saw a good tweet from Kirsten McInnes during the episode. I mean, if the are the underdogs really getting steamrolled if they're doing this to themselves? And it seems like they just keep doing it to themselves every single week. It's just... It's terrible, but it's great television and I'm all here for it.
Yeah, it really is turning into, you know, the Wile E. Coyote versus the Roadrunner. At some point, I think that people need to just stop rooting for Wile E. Coyote, that he is never going to get the jump on the Roadrunner. No matter how hard you root for him, no matter how hard you stan the Coyote, you just need to realize that all of his dynamite is going to blow up in his face. All of the tripwires, they're never going to work when the Roadrunner goes through them. And then he's going to go over there and look at it, and then it's going to just explode in his face. And it's just how it is.
Yeah, it's just how it is.
I think that Faute has won something like 5 of the 8 HOHs, and they've managed to send 2 of their enemies home. Like that's been their legacy so far. So you can't say it's a steamroll in that sense either, because it's like, well, no, a steamroll is when there's a majority alliance and they just win all the competitions, everything goes their way, and they just roll over the other side like it's it's a begonging. No, this is the other side convincing Faute to eat themselves with the power that they continue to win.
Yes, Matt.
Right. What we've been talking about in the morning updates, it's just this alliance is, it's so bad together, but they're also so bad individually. Like
they're like Voltron.
Right. I'll take that. Every single player in this group has just managed to destroy their own game along the way. Not a single one of them have made any improvement from one week to another. Whereas the people on the level 6 side, as they move stronger together, they also move stronger individually with certain of them. The Bretts and the Tylers just keep getting better as the game goes on. But, you know, someone like Rockstar, who at the beginning of the game, she was not talking to anybody and she never made any new relationships with anyone. You have Scotty, who cast the vote for Swaggy in the Swaggy C-shirt, and he told everyone about it, and then they lost trust with him, and then it just never got any better. So it's like, this was always going to catch up to them. They're always going to be dysfunctional together. And again, like I've said on the mornings, that the fact that they're still fans for these people is just great.
Taryn, you know what I thought was really interesting tonight was that this was one of the least Tyler-centric episodes of the whole series. That probably in the bottom 5, we saw him a little bit like, oh my God, I can't believe that this is going to happen. But really, I mean, this was almost had nothing to do with Tyler.
Yeah, I mean, this was JC's move. He planned it out from before the HOH competition and really pressured Brett into doing it. Brett didn't want to do it, and really just made this whole thing happen. And Tyler just got to sit back and let it happen, let JC keep him off the block.
Yeah, so let's talk about this real coming out party for JC in terms of being, and we've seen him manipulating Fessy from time to time, but we saw him really come and call his shot with this plan tonight.
I'm determined to get Scotty on the block. How am I gonna do it? I'm gonna get Fessy all jealous.
He was so great this whole episode because he would go in the diary room and then he always, follows it up with his like he cracks himself up, which has been so much fun to watch with JC. Now, Taryn, could you give us the backstory? Why does JC want Scotty out so badly?
Yeah, so Scotty has been JC's primary threat in the game for a while now. Scotty is, he has been on to JC as the person that's been flipping votes. He has been in Haley and Fessy's ear telling them, hey, you can't trust JC. He's been flipping votes. He's the one that you need to watch out for. You need to stop listening to him. He's also been talking about how JC is his primary target for weeks now. So it's it's very much in JC's interest to make sure that Scotty goes home. As soon as that happens, he basically has full control over certainly Fessy and also to some extent Haley.
Jordan, have you rooted for Scotty so far through 8 weeks of Big Brother 20?
You know, Scotty's fine. I mean, Scotty, I wouldn't say necessarily have been rooting for him. I don't know if I'm rooting against him necessarily, but I feel as somebody who it was my own fault, but somebody who was nominated by their own alliance mm-hmm. and then ended up going home because of it, I couldn't help but feel sympathetic to Scotty. At least Scotty knows, like, hey, like, I'm in huge trouble and now I need to try to win this veto to save myself. So I hopefully we'll see what happens with him here. But this is just such a terrible situation. Again, being associated with Vaute for Scotty, I kind of wish for his sake, you know, he made the one thing he did was he was trying to get the support, from my understanding, for the Power app when he wore the swaggy C shirt and he, you know, voted to evict Chris. But that, for whatever reason, that just seems to follow him the whole season. But in reality, is it really that big of a deal? I mean, Swaggy C was going home anyway. Scotty's vote didn't matter. I don't know why Fessy is still upset about it. It's such a minor thing. He's been loyal to them since then. I just makes me wish that Scotty would have been, would have just jumped to level 6 and been with those guys the whole time, because Fauci's just been such a wreck and such a mess.
Well, Taryn, do you want to speak to that of why he did not stick with level 6? Because a couple of weeks ago, it did look like he was trending in that direction, and then he ended up coming back home to Fauci.
Yes, I mean, and in regards to the Swaggy vote as well, like, I think on a normal season, voting Swaggy out to try and get the power up would have been fine. The problem is that Level 6 and JC have been making these flip votes, these hinky votes yeah. all season long. So it's like, that's one thing that, like, they know that Scotty did that, so they keep coming back to it.
But the problem was he told them that he did yes. it after the fact, and unlike Level 6, they don't tell the other side when they do something.
Yes, exactly.
It would have been fine. He could have done that. Just don't tell Bailey after the fact that you voted out Swaggy C in the Swaggy C shirt.
Yeah, and he thought he was garnering trust with Bailey, like, oh, I'm going to admit to you that I did this because you already think that I do. But the thing is, they've thought everything under the sun. But because Level 6 continues to deny, they continually will doubt themselves. Wait, but maybe it's not. Maybe it was Scotty. Scotty did do that one shady thing. And so it really, it's really screwed him up.
I mean, even Brett tonight, where that he's going to go into that meeting and he's going to tell, like, this is the dumbest lie, but I'm going to go in there and I'm going to sell it and I'm going to swear till my dying day I voted to keep Rockstar. And eventually that they get everybody on that board. Like, I guess he did. I don't know. And I don't know anymore.
He was put on the spot. The reason he hesitated was because he was like, oh, he was legitimately like, I don't think I can do this, and then was like, you know what, screw it.
Truth is not truth.
It was me. What are you gonna do? And it worked. It completely convinced Haley. Haley was 100% believing that Brett was the vote to keep Rockstar. Let's get that straight. But Rob, you are going back. You are right that Scotty did have a plenty of opportunity to go along with the level 6 people a few weeks ago. When they played the veto and they gave it to Angela and Scotty was on the block and they said, don't worry, we're gonna take Tyler down. We're gonna put somebody up next to you. It's gonna be fine. He cried to them about Bailey making him swear on the Bible, and he was fully with them. And that was a good place for him because he was in good with Vaute and he was in good with level 6. The problem was, Rob, that he, very much like his comrade here, Fessy, and very much as JC describes, he fell in love with Haley, and he just completely head over heels was just like googly eyed
baggy shirts.
Yes, the baggy shirts. He just he wanted to do anything he could to help her game, and he didn't even bother trying to play with the other side. He was so in Haley's corner, and which is why he was willing to work with Fessy. But again, a part of the problem here is that he did try to turn Haley against Fessy because he wanted Haley all to himself. Part of like what JC is saying is partially the truth. Like And Fessy knows this because Haley told him about when Scotty told him all this stuff about Fessy, and Fessy was pissed at Scotty for doing that. So, like, all of this stuff rings true, not only to Fessy, but also to Haley, who was like, you know what, you're right. Scotty's not after me, but he might be after Fessy. And so maybe we do need to go after him. So this is all kind of culminated into this this one moment here.
Matt?
I don't understand. It's obviously, you know, exactly what Taryn was saying with all the jealousy. Every time somebody separates from Haley, the second they get back into a conversation with her, it's like, you know, whatever power she has over them takes over, and they want to work for her. They want to work with her. And that's how, at least for these two guys, for Scott, for Scotty and for Fessy, it's obviously a different story for Brett, who his intentions are not to get close to her. Well, because he likes her, it's because he's trying to, you know, get into their side. And then you also have Tyler, which isn't, it's not, you know, he's not getting in with Haley and trying to make something happen there, but it's just some weird thing that Haley has for Tyler, that every time she knows she shouldn't do anything, be working with him or whatever, she always goes back to, well, you know, we can maybe get Tyler this week. Maybe we can get Tyler this week. She put him on the block and, well, maybe we can work with Tyler going forward, or I don't know. So I don't know why everyone is so magnetized to Haley, because it's obviously not working out for anybody. But Scotty is Scotty's going to suffer the big time for this one. So
I want to go back to the house meeting, and Fessy got everybody together in the HOH after JC said, hey, look, I'm telling you, Scotty was he voted to evict Rockstar. And so Fessy's like, OK, I'm going to get to the bottom of this, Jordan. He says, I'm going to have this house meeting and I'm going to find out, all right, who's the vote? And he asks, all right, who voted? Scotty raises his hand and Fessy's like, OK, anybody else? I mean, it was one vote. It was one vote. Anybody else here vote for? And like, okay, anyone? Anyone else? Like, he was really fishing. And then, I mean, he opened the door for Brett to jump in and finally say, okay, you know what? F it. I did it. I was fine. You got me. I was the other vote. I'm sorry, Casey. And Scotty was so bad, so passive, so docile during this meeting. I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, here he is at the end of the episode in the diary room.
Unless Fest has some kind of secret deal with somebody, this doesn't make any sense. This is so freaking stupid. Why would he put his ally on the block against some guy who keeps saying, no matter who he's up against, he's literally taking his number and getting rid of it for no reason.
Where was this in the meeting?
Exactly. Where was that in the house? Like, bring that out in front of them. Not in the diary room. No one can hear you in there. Come on.
He belongs on a morning update.
I mean, he was so like, all right, real cute, guys. All right. Yeah. Come on. Yeah.
And right, sure. let me be clear as well. He did not address this with Fessy and Haley until the conversation they showed right before the nominations. He spent a day and a half doing nothing about this. Nothing. Just like chilling.
Yeah. This is like when you get a letter from the IRS and it's like, you know,
real cute.
They must send this to everybody. Junk mail. Let me not worry about this. You don't need to pay your taxes. Yeah. And I don't know where was the urgency, Taryn?
It wasn't there. He trusted Haley so much. He really felt confident in his relationship with Haley. He didn't feel the need to deny it, even to her. And certainly that really came back to bite him. It wasn't until Haley, as we saw, told Scotty, you got to go talk to him, man. I don't know what this is looking like. And he was like, what? Why? Why wouldn't people just trust me? It's like, because nobody's ever trusted you.
Yeah.
It almost feels like Scotty was like, he's not this stupid that he'll actually go through with this. So that's what he's thinking. Like, there's no way he'll actually do it, right? Like, he's, but if he does, wow. Like, he deserves whatever's going to come to him next. But I can just imagine that Scotty was like, there's no way I actually have to put in the work to stay off the block, right?
if we wrote out this storyline in some Big Brother fan fiction, you'd have to throw it away. That nobody would buy it. I mean, this is the most unbelievable writing on the CBS network at this point in time. That you would say, no, well, then nobody's going to believe that. Or why would he just say that? And then they have that scene where they're in JC comes up and he's telling Fessy and Haley, no, I'm telling you, Scotty is in love with you. And then here comes Scotty and it's so sad. And he's like ringing the bell and they're like, all right, let him in. And he comes in and he's like, hey, what are you guys doing? And they're like, nothing. We're going to bed. And he's like, okay, Haley, I love you. Like, come on, Scotty. What are you thinking?
it's not a good look.
I love you.
Yeah, it's bad. I mean, when you're in there, especially when it's day 58, whatever it's been, I mean, sometimes your head is just, you're out to lunch at that point. Your brain is fried. I think obviously that is what has happened with Scotty in terms of that's cute. Like that whole thing. I agree with Matt. Like, I think he just, it must have thought they can't believe it. It's so ridiculous. There's no way that they're going to see what's going on. But he's just so bad at reading the situation that he doesn't do anything. And, you know, you've talked about this many times, Rob. When you are on one of these shows and you are trying to convince someone, like if you're trying to say, look, like I'm not lying here, I'm telling the truth, you need to show emotion. You need to be like, look, no, you have to believe me. Please, yes. Trust me. Like, this is what's going on. But a complete opposite thing. The person that is lying, what they'll do is just be like, oh, okay, fine. You can believe him then. Okay. I'm telling the truth. I'll be fine over here. So Scotty, he just seems so guilty with what he did. He didn't even try to fight against it. And now he's in very hot water.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you mentioned that, Jordan, because that KC did exactly that when she was lying tonight, where she said, Scotty's like, oh, okay, great acting. And she's like, look, I don't even vibe with Brett. I don't know what you're talking about. She's like, you can believe me if you want, but you know that I always say that the innocent person, you know, isn't okay with like, you don't have to believe me if you don't want to. Okay. You know, the guilty person wants to change the subject and is ready to say like, look, I said what I have to say. So if you don't, that if that's not good enough for you, then I don't know what to tell you. But the innocent person, I think is willing to, you know, really like, No. Let's go over this. I have the receipts.
Especially when like, and you're in the same room as the person who is claiming that they voted the way that you're saying. Like there's one vote. Julie announced that there was one vote to save Rockstar, and you are in the same room on the same couch as the person who's saying that was me. Like, how do you not explode with fury and say, are you kidding me? Like I went in there, I said I vote to evict KC, and not blow up on him, right? He's just like, oh, okay, this is fun. I'm just going to keep watching it. Like, who believes that? No one.
Do you know like what he did after this house meeting, after all this happened, and JC is upstairs. Yeah, JC is upstairs, flipping Haley against him, flipping Fessy against him. What Scotty is doing in the meantime is he is playing Jenga with Brett, the person that just conflicted him for this vote, and he's not saying a word about it. Mm-hmm. He's just sitting there awkwardly playing Jenga with Brett. Doesn't say a single word like, so, Brett, why are you doing this to me? Nothing. Just in there for hours as JC turns his entire game around and puts it in the garbage.
Yeah. And Jenga's not even that fun. It's okay. It's fine. But it's not so great that you play with somebody that's trying to get you voted out of the house.
Yeah, another great part of this is that one of the reasons why Haley believed Brett over Scotty was because of this Mr. and Mrs. Smith alliance that Brett made with Rockstar just to mess with her. But afterward, Haley's like, well, Rockstar told me that Brett came to her with a Final Two deal. Why would Brett vote her out if he was making a Final Two with her? Because he's a maniac and he wanted to mess with her mind, but it doesn't make sense to a rational thinker. So she thinks, oh, well, Brett must be telling the truth.
Yeah. And Haley...
And at the end of the day...
Oh, go ahead.
At the end of the day, like, as has been said by us, by everyone, the fact that there was these two people that both are claiming the votes, and Fessy's you know, wild imagination, could not figure out which one was the correct one. So if one of them are on his side, naturally put them both on the block, and whoever was actually on his side, let's make sure that they have a chance to go home.
Yeah, right. The one that's on my side will be the victor ultimately. There's certainly the rest of the house won't vote them out. Yes. This is very much the like throw the witch into the water and see if she floats strategy of like, this is not going to turn out well for you.
Right. It's like that Star Trek episode when there were two Captain Kirks and they said, let's kill both of them. One of them is evil. We need to get rid of both of them. That's it.
That makes sense.
You know, this love quadrangle is so complicated, and it's also, you know, so perfect because jealous Fessy, and he is going after Scotty because, okay, well, he is the guy, obviously, you know, Haley is hanging out with him. He must have feelings for Haley. And so I got to get rid of him. Yet he is the guy who is, you know, squarely in the friend zone. But yet, Taryn, the guy who's probably the bigger threat to the relationship between Haley and Fessy would be Brett, who is not Fessy's target. So really, you know, the call is coming from inside the house, Fessy, and you're going after the wrong person.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's why he wanted Brett next to Scotty. And in Fessy's mind, he feels like, well, either one of them could go home. The only reason that Scotty needs to go home is because it's been pounded into his brain, if Scotty stays now, that, like, if you nominate him and then he stays, then he's going to be pissed at you and he's really good at competitions. But Fessy would love to see both of them go. It's just that Scotty is the sketchier one. Scotty is the one that he knows. He has evidence that Scotty has tried to turn Haley against him in the past, and Scotty's a better competitor. So in that sense, Scotty's got to go.
Yeah, even though Brett is the much bigger threat to steal Haley.
Yeah, yes. Well, and that's the thing. Like, I don't think Fessy was ever worried that Scotty was going to steal Haley from him. He was worried that Scotty was going to take him out so that Scotty would have a chance at Haley.
Okay. All right. Jordan, in watching this whole thing through, what has been your take on Tyler this season? Have you been impressed with him and the game that he's played?
Yeah, I'm very impressed with Tyler's game. I think it is very interesting to see someone of his archetype, the David Gurton archetype, all of a sudden become this strategic mastermind. But I think what he's done is he's shown that what Big Brother really comes down to at the end of the day, at least for my money, is having an incredibly strong social game. And Tyler really has nailed that part of the game. He's done a fantastic job building relationships with people across the house. He has everybody thinking, okay, this is the guy that's going to go to the end with. He hasn't had to go against too many people at this point yet. And, you know, there was the whole Bailey thing where she was bleeding and screaming at him, and that wasn't really ideal. But other than that, I mean, he's done a fantastic job so far. And I mean, tonight, I mean, he's got people going to war for him like JC, who are just planning these incredibly elaborate plans where they're pulling the wool over all of Faute's eyes and doing all this stuff. And Tyler doesn't have to do anything. He can just sit back. He's going to benefit from it. And he's going to live to see another day. So I think he's done a fantastic job this season. And I'm rooting for him to continue to pull it off because I think if he can, he's going to play one of the most impressive games from a newbie in Big Brother history.
What about Sam? I know you said that you feel like that she has been entertaining. Have you been increasingly concerned about her as we've gotten to see more of her talking about curb stomping and having different, she feels like that there's she feeling like she's getting like rattlesnake vibes from Tyler at different points?
Yeah, I mean, Eric said it on the Summer of Stein last week, but there's a point in time for of every Big Brother season when somebody loses their mind. And it looks like Sam, unfortunately, has reached that point. I won't get into spoilers in terms of some other things that have happened the past few days, but it only seems to get wackier and wackier with Sam. So I'm a little bit concerned for her well-being. But as a fan and just watching from home, it is incredibly entertaining. All of the curb stomping and JC being like so impressed by the story and all of that. So I'm excited to see what's to come for Sam, but In terms of just the game and where she's at, I mean, if for all the rest of the house guests, I mean, I think for Tyler and for the others, they just look at Sam and say, well, I mean, I don't need to worry about Sam. So I can see Sam lasting for quite a bit. And then once you get to the end of the game, who knows what will happen? I mean, Tyler, I think, is going to have the target zero in on him a little bit more as we come down the stretch. And if he isn't able to turn it on, then I don't know. Maybe Sam could pull a rabbit out of the hat. You never know what could happen with her. Matt's shaking his head. I don't think so. The darkest timeline.
Darkest timeline.
Okay. But I think Sam is a great character for the show. I'm definitely a little bit concerned. I'm excited to see what the editors are going to show us from the past few days in the next few episodes.
Yeah, and we have a lot to unpack from the live feeds. Taryn, were you aware of, we know Grandpa Lou visited the house earlier this season. Were you aware that Fessy had so much hatred in his heart for ducks?
If it walks like a duck and quacks like a duck, most likely it's a duck. And that's Scotty.
Rob, there have been a lot of prejudicial comments made this season, lots of controversy, but this is by far the worst that I've heard. The clear intent here to harm any ducks and how they feel. I mean, just he doesn't even need to insult the duck. He just needs to say, it's a duck. And the intent is clear here. He's meaning to say all ducks are terrible and he wants all ducks out of the house. Ducks do not belong in the Big Brother house. And I do not support that statement.
Yes, Taryn is very pro-duck, and anybody who has followed the show for a long time knows that that is one of his causes, and we fully support Taryn in his mission to save all of the ducks.
Yes, I have lots of ducks for friends. I promise.
Yeah, the entire alliance could be made out of ducks, and that's exactly what would make Fessy want to get rid of them.
They are pointing on the chat. Maybe he was referring to the quack pack. Maybe he thinks that Scotty was in the quack
pack. Yeah, Fessy, biggest fan of BB14.
Yeah.
Huge fan. Okay, let's get...
Sure has seen that season.
Let's get to some questions, and then we got a lot to talk about from the live feeds from over the weekend as the Zingbot visited the house this weekend. Okay, L Anonymous wants to say, if Falte sucks this much at playing the game, any prediction on how much they're going to suck as jury members? Yeah, I guess that this would be interesting, Taryn. Do you think that Falte has a chance to be able to figure things out from the jury house, or will they be just as clueless there?
I think they will be completely clueless there until, you know, Scotty might be able to set them a little bit straight, but he also may go in there going like, you know what? Haley and Fessy, they were playing me all along. So who knows? I think they're probably going to remain clueless until somebody from level 6 enters the jury house and is like, guys, day 3, we started an alliance. It was called level 6. We've been playing you the entire time. And honestly, Rob, I bet the reaction is going to be, no, we don't believe you.
I don't think so. Nice try. Real cute. Yeah.
Yeah, the reaction is just, at least they, like, because they're such a mess together, hopefully they aren't going to be like a block of 5 or 6, whatever votes voting together. So I think they will be a little bit split up, but they talked about this on the roundtable last week. The, you know, Rockstar and Bailey are in the house, in the jury house together right now. They're probably not going to be best lifelong friends. So I don't think that everyone's going to be in the same page as they come in one by one by one so far. Especially like, you know, like you guys are saying, if level 6 comes and joins, if JC ends up in the jury, he might have some pull, but hopefully they'll be split up and vote delusionally on their own.
Okay. This is from Kyle, who says, with Scotty calling Casey cute in the episode, who's cuter? Brett pinning a vote on Rockstar on her daughter's birthday, or Casey lying about Brett voting her out? Jordan, do you have a pick as to which is the most cute?
The most cute. I mean, in terms of, I guess, most cute in terms of what I liked the most. I mean, I guess Brett lying about the Rockstar vote, I guess that was cuter. Side note, Brett is amazing. Don't you think? I just wanted to add that in here. I think he's doing a wonderful job in terms of providing entertainment to the show. I don't know about these whole Dr. Will comparisons that are being thrown out there.
I mean, personally,
it's nothing against Brett, but I do think anybody being compared to Dr. Will is blasphemous. I don't think we're ever going to see a Dr. Will again. That being said, I do think it's cute that we are getting these very hilarious diary rooms from Brett. He's very arrogant. We see him, you know, losing these competitions. I like how the storyline is kind of loosely similar. So if we're ever going to get a 2018 version of Dr. Will, I guess maybe this is the best we can hope for. So, yeah, loving what Brett's doing so far. And I thought the lying move there was very cute.
He had a great moment at the end of the episode.
You're such an idiot. It's unbelievable.
You could have played that clip probably twice a week so far through 8 weeks of the show.
Kieran, no question.
Jordan Parhar, even though you left REJP a few years ago, do you still love Survivor and Big Brother as much as you did when you were a part of RHAP? Maybe love isn't the right word.
Here's what I'll say. I love RHAP. I will say that. But in terms of as much as I used to, I think I was talking to my friends, the Matts, Matt Ligori, Matt Gagan, who's over in the corner still. Hello, Matt. We're going to say hi to you, even if you're not on camera. I think for me, I love Big Brother probably more right now than I did at the end of my time at RHAP, mm-hmm. but not as much as when I first started. Survivor, yeah, I'd say it's, I think I've, the last few seasons have been, not as great. So I think perhaps Survivor's gone a little bit down. I was saying to them, I'm kind of the dreaded C word guys. I think I'm more of a casual at this point. Mm-hmm. But I'm still a fan. I still enjoy the show. I still watch every episode whenever I can in terms of Survivor. So, but I'll always love those shows. I mean, it's just in my blood at this point.
Okay. Let's go to a question from the great Bo, who says, Fessy's nominations are because of the I vote to evict Casey. But do you also believe it's because that Brett and Scotty are flirting with Haley? It has to be a territorial thing. Yeah, I think that the episode made that pretty clear. Anything else to add on that, Taryn?
No, I mean, if anything, I think that aspect of it is a little overblown, but it's definitely a part of it, and I think it's a huge part of why Scotty got in trouble in the first place, because he was trying to separate Fessy from Haley.
I liked when Haley was like, this isn't like some macho testosterone thing, is it? Because tell me right now if it is. Like, yeah, it definitely is.
Which is exactly what JC had said earlier in the episode. Like, Fessy, he's got so much testosterone. I can do whatever I want.
Yeah. All right. This is an interesting question. Survivor guy wants to, is Fessy the worst player to make the jury? Now, Fessy has longevity, so it's impossible to rank him as a historically terrible player. But in terms of his game awareness, Taryn, that he has to be among the least aware players that there's ever been in Big Brother, right?
I mean, I think that has to be said of basically all of Fauté. Like, Fessy gets the most crap for it because he makes the biggest deal out of it, and it's so fun to make fun of him as he's going around with a blanket over him. Like, oh, who flipped? But like, I don't think we can single Fessy. I think that Haley it should be blamed more than Fessy in this situation. Haley had way less reason to not trust Scotty than Fessy did. Fessy had lots of reason to not trust Scotty, but Scotty is in love with Haley. Scotty would do anything Haley said, and she turned on him. So like, to me, it's like, well, there's competition in the very same season. So I don't know if I can say that.
Okay.
We forget too, like, Big Brother has produced some very bad players over the years. So, I mean, mm-hmm. I think this is a little bit of recency bias. Howie Gordon, I mean, we saw a very similar HOH week back in Big Brother 6 when Maggie was on the complete opposite side of the house and just got Howie to nominate two of his allies. And that didn't have to do as with jealousy, as far as I remember. It just had to do with Howie just not knowing what he was doing. So I think saying that he is the worst player to ever make the jury, I think that might be a little bit hyperbolic, a little bit of recency bias there.
Okay. Let's do one more question. We'll get to the live feeds. Alex Graves wants to know, is this the biggest size differential between a mastermind and a big dumb puppet in BB history? I'm not sure necessarily if there's a big size differential between too many other people that were puppet mastering the others. This does have some sort of a reverse ventriloquist action going on here.
Yeah, we talked about how JC is kind of like the Littlefinger in Game of Thrones, but then somebody else also sent me a photoshopped image of JC on the back of Fessy as Hodor, which I thought was hilarious. And you know, Fessy had been talking about, like, you know, I think there's going to be like some postseason you know, opportunities for me and JC. I don't think he was expecting the JC riding his back as Bran, and he is shouting Hodor over and over. I don't think those are the opportunities he was expecting. Yeah.
Jordan, I think that this is pretty interesting because, you know, we've seen in this season the tall and the short of it, this relationship between, you know, Fessy and JC. And it's been presented as, you know, oh, okay, they're, you know, this fun back and forth relationship. But do you think that Fessy will like JC when he gets out of the house after he realizes just how much he has been played?
Yeah, I think this episode is going to be a huge wake-up call for him when he watches it, and he's going to be very, very hurt. I think we can see from, I mean, from what we've seen of Fessy so far, I think he is a bit of an emotional guy. So I don't think he's going to be able to forgive him unless they are able to spend a lot of time in jury together. JC owns up to everything and explains exactly what happened. And then, you know, there's some time for that wound to heal there a bit. But if there isn't that time, and even if there is that time, I don't know, it's going to take an awful lot for Fessy, because JC made him look like an idiot tonight, like just an absolute moron. And Fessy seems like a nice guy, but just not a good big brother player. And JC played him like a fiddle.
Yeah, I mean, here's JC in the diary room.
Mission completed. I am the best puppet master ever. And Tessel is my big, dumb puppet.
Taryn, I mean, you've studied Fessel for 60 days. Do you think that it will be in him? Well, do you think that he'll, after the game, will be like, whatever, the house was the house? Or do you think that he will really have animosity towards JC after all this?
I think that he will absolutely have animosity. However, I think that if JC comes out of the season as a beloved character, if he's perhaps the winner or even just comes away as one of the fan favorites, Fessy will be like, all right, I'm going to shut that down. I'm going to pretend I'm cool with this, even though he definitely won't be. But if JC comes away as a hated character, as a villain, he leaves the house in ruins, then you can guarantee Fessy's going to jump on that train.
Yeah. All right. We're going to get into talking about the spoilers here and a bunch of things to talk about and discuss. So we are going to bring that up in a moment. Of course, Summer of Stein coming up tomorrow. So if you want to get questions in for that show, you can go ahead and do that. And I will get into that with Eric coming up on Monday. So be on the lookout for that coming up tomorrow. And I usually get that up around like 8 p.m. Eastern if you want to catch that show. And then we'll be back with you guys live on Wednesday night to talk about what's going on with the Veto and the Zingbot, which we are going to talk about right now.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler.
Let's get all the mats dancing.
A spoiler.
Each warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected. And
that Matt's on the bed. He doesn't want to dance.
Doesn't want to get off the bed. Okay. All right. So, Taryn, busy weekend in the Big Brother house.
Yes, very, very exciting stuff. Of course, Scotty went up on the block. He got into it with Fessy. Haley is going to kind of come to regret the decision, which is where I think a lot of these DRs came from in this episode. and then we played the hide-and-go-seek veto, Rob.
Yes, and it's interesting that we had the Zingbot for the hide-and-go-seek veto, which I guess that's fine. I guess the Zingbot can just like stand there by the easel when so it's fine. The Zingbot's role in the actual competition is probably overstated. And so we have the winner of the power veto is
Brett.
Brett. You're such an idiot. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. So congratulations, Brett, the winner of the Power of Veto. And he will come down off of the block. Tara, can you just take us through what has been Scotty's mood over the weekend? As does he feel like he's going?
Yes, Scotty knows 100% that he is gone. Scotty's mood has been. He does know. He does know. He has been all over the place, from sad to just like, I can't believe this happened, to okay, so Haley must have been playing me this whole time, just like everyone always said, to all right, now I'm going to try and get Haley up on the block next to me. Screw Haley. She's Caitlyn 2.0, to crying to Haley saying, no, it's just I'm trying to separate
us. Nobody is Caitlyn 2.0, okay?
Yeah, it's he's been all over the place.
Poor Scotty.
Yeah, I've had a hard time today trying to figure out where Scotty's head is at, in terms of if he was making all of these pitches about Haley going on the block because he genuinely thinks that Haley might go up, and then he could, because if he was on the block against Haley, there's like, that's the only chance, honestly, that he would have to stay in the house. Like, that anybody else, he's going home. So I'm trying to figure out, like, if he's doing it because he wants that's actually happened, or if it's just because he's trying to show the other side that, look, if I stay in the house, then I am going after these two no matter what. They've been lying to me all along. As you see, I'm not on their side. They put me on the block. So I think he is putting in a little bit of effort early on here before he even knows who the replacement nominee is. So I think he's thinking about it. It just does seem like it's early, and it's hard to say that early on, because nobody wants to have a boring week on Sunday where we know who's going home, especially in this season where it's been so exciting.
No, and the major problem with getting Haley on the block would be that Fessel would need to put his beloved Haley on the block, Taryn, and that seems like the longest of long shots, right?
Yes, absolutely. But I mean, Rob, the fact that Scotty is on the block, the fact that Scotty himself is on the block is proof positive that, look, you should try anything.
Yeah.
And you're underestimating the person that is leading the charge of the Get Haley on the Block movement. One of the strongest players in the game, who has waited until this week to finally put her best foot forward and attempt to get Haley on the block. And that would, of course, be Sam.
Yeah. Taryn, could you give us the Sam update? Sam did not have a lot to do. We sort of got like a wacky segment with Sam, where she was talking about, y'all reckon, and it's very Beast Mode Cowboy-esque, this segment for Sam. So we didn't get any of the, Sam's other tendencies.
There's a lot to update on Sam. Sam has progressed a lot in the time that we've been away, Rob. She had a conversation with Brett, and in her conversation with Brett, she talked about how, look, Rockstar told me some things that made me think that maybe we were in an alliance. Not me and Rockstar, me and you, Brett. And this was a little confusing. He's like, okay, I don't know. He's like, no, I've been under the assumption that you made a secret Final Two with me and didn't tell me about it. That you made a Final Two with me without my consent, and that you've been playing the game for me this whole time. And so this is very confusing, very concerning. But it doesn't stop there, Rob. She continues, and I felt like, I thought like maybe there was a chance that you were like secretly in love with me, and you thought that I was the girl of your dreams, and like, I don't know, like maybe we were about to get married or something. Like, I just felt, was I making that up in my head at all, Brett? And Brett was like, well, I mean, I'm not in love with you. I love you, but I'm not in love with you, Sam. And she was like, oh, don't touch me, Brett. I am so embarrassed right now. I've been telling them all about this. I've been talking about it for so long. I feel so embarrassed. And so he goes, she goes, okay, but will you pretend to be in love with me at least? And Brett says, okay, but Sam, I do love you. I do love you. And she goes, okay, I changed my mind about the touch. Please touch me. It reminds me of when I stare at you in your sleep. And would you actually mind if you move into the same bedroom? I just like hearing your breath while you sleep. Hearing you breathing really makes me feel good. So this has been going on, Rob.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Sam, Jordan,
Oh, no. Oh, no.
This is great, right?
It's happening, Rob. It's happening. She's losing her mind. This is so sad. So sad. Yeah. It is my girl. I feel so bad for Sam. Oh, my goodness. I don't know how the editors are going to handle this, but if we thought it was cringeworthy watching Fessy this week put up Scott, this episode put up Scott, I can't imagine how we're going to feel on Wednesday's episode or Thursday, whenever they get around to showing this whole confession to Brett that Sam loves him. That truly is a lot. I feel bad for Brett too.
Taryn, do you think we're going to see this on the show?
Well, she's apparently been talking to them about it for weeks now, and they
haven't
not
seen
shown
it.
A lick of it. So I wouldn't be that surprised if we don't see this. Maybe they'll cut around it and they'll focus on the ending of it where they do make a final two deal. She does tell Brett, you are my plan B, but maybe you'll become my plan A soon. She then says, we'll keep this a secret alliance. And then JC walks in and she's like, hey, we just made an alliance. Want to have an alliance with us? Make the final three. So JC finds out about it, who then tells Tyler, and then Tyler, of course, now knows about it. But yeah, this whole thing, I have no idea how they're going to handle on the show.
Okay. Something to watch moving forward. Taryn, we haven't talked about the idea of Fessy's to work with Tyler and Angela. Could you set that up a little bit?
Yes. So JC has been trying to get in Fessy's ear about, like, I can get you on good terms with Tyler. Fessy has always wanted to be on good terms with Tyler. Tyler's maintained a line of communication with Fessy for a long time now, and it's paying off here. Haley has always wanted to work with Tyler. She just felt like she couldn't because he was against her. So they both kind of like this idea that, okay, let's go to Tyler and Angela and propose a final four, where, like, we're the people in the house making the power moves. We are the power players in this game. Tyler, Angela, Fessy, and Haley, we're the big dogs. Let's take out all these middle people, all these people sliding by, not doing anything. And they spent a very long time in the HOH room today discussing this and talking about their plan to move forward as the final four.
Now, I don't know if this has been talked about anywhere, but I do believe that the psychology behind this for Fessy has very little to do with taking out the middle people in the game. I believe that Fessy is, again, putting this relationship with Haley above all else. And what do you do when you're a couple? You look for other couples to hang out with. And I think in this relationship, I think that Fessy is saying, like, hey, we should get together with Tyler and Angela this weekend. Like, that would be fun, right? And that it will do couple things and we'll hang out. And I think that this is all about a double date and not about the game.
So which couple are you, Rob? You and Nicole, which one are you guys? Are you Tyler and Angela or are you Fessy and Haley?
I'm trying to think where. Haley talks to Fessy, right?
Yes.
So not them.
Haley gets very mad at Fessy.
Yeah. So I don't know.
Very irrational.
I don't know if there's a... I think we're more the reverse...
are you Brett and Sam?
Brett. Yeah, I think that might be it. Actually, I think it's more like Haley and Scotty. I think that's probably the people in the house that we might best replicate. So I think that's interesting. Now, I also think, Taryn, tell me if I'm crazy, I'm starting to feel like maybe for the first time in Big Brother 20, I am starting to lose my confidence that Tyler has this thing locked up.
Yeah, I mean, there are other players who are really stepping up here. Brett has continued to improve. I think that obviously, you know, this whole situation, I think I'd give a lot more credit to JC, but Brett is able, he's very capable of lying, just straight up lying to be like, I want to impress upon people how difficult it is to sit in a room full of people and say to somebody, who should know for sure that you're lying and say to somebody else who does know for sure that you're lying that, no, I'm telling the truth, and say it with a straight face and not just like be cowed into backing down when they're like, no, you're lying. It's a difficult thing to do, especially in a game with such high stakes. And Brett is able to pull that off. Brett is now, you know, he's got the loyalty of Sam to a decent extent. JC has shown some remarkable capability. There are definitely some threats to Tyler's endgame for sure.
Because in my mind, Taryn, I think that the biggest thing that I am worried about with Tyler is the Tyler and Angela showmance that is developing. And we haven't touched on that. Could you give us the update on that? How much is that just there, you know, sort of canoodling, and how much is that they are beginning to have a relationship?
The canoodling is happening. That's where it starts. They've been cuddling a little bit.
Starts with a canoodle, right, Jordan?
Always.
That is unfortunately all it takes sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just ask Kevin and Peely. They canoodled. They've been cuddling a little bit. And you know, they haven't really been caught yet. Very good news for Tyler, I think, is that he was selected as a have not this week. So this is going to end for the moment. There's no chance they're going to be caught. But I absolutely think that this is bad news for them if this continues on further for Tangela or Tangela. Tangela, I'm trying to. Somebody told me. No,
isn't Tangela? Tangela is a Pokemon.
Yes, that's. Aaron. They told me. Just like Paris from last from Big Brother Canada, we need to pronounce this as the Pokemon Tangela. Or
Disney movie with Rapunzel. Tangela.
Yeah, I don't know. I never had to pronounce Tangela as a child. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So I really feel like that, and Tyron, you touched on this in the morning update, that you feel like that Tyler could start to be more focused on Brett. And I do think that that is the wrong direction to look, where Brett, I feel like, is still loyal to level 6. And I think that JC is the real threat that he needs to be worried about. And I do think that, you know, JC has been working this Will Wall pendulum strategy to perfection, and we thought he was crazy, but that I'm starting to think that JC is coming on strong here.
Yeah, and I think that the one thing that I've been talking about with JC, the one weakness he has, is that I do think he'll have trouble with the end game competitions. And I think that's why Tyler feels probably more comfortable with JC than Brett, because he feels like he can beat JC in these competitions a lot more easily than he can Brett. You know, I think that, you know, when it comes to who would take JC to the end without JC having to win his way there, that number of people really drops pretty dramatically. And then also being able to win a jury vote, I'm a little bit concerned, because he hasn't really connected with a lot of people. He did a very contentious relationship with Bailey. I have some concerns for JC, but I definitely think he is a dark horse in this race.
Yeah, I don't know necessarily if he can win, but I think that if you were looking at somebody who is going to unseat Tyler in the house, that I think that he would probably be, for my money, the biggest threat that Tyler needs to be worried about.
Yeah, it's possible. I still feel like JC kind of sees Tyler as an idiot, like many of them still kind of do in a way. Mm-hmm. The other day, JC was talking to Tyler, and Tyler, he's like, oh, since when do you make decisions around here? And I was like, I think JC's being sincere about that. I think he genuinely feels like he has Tyler in the same way that he has JC. I just get the feeling that he doesn't see the trio of Casey, Angela, and Tyler being as strong as they are. I feel like JC thinks that he can get in there and easily pluck Tyler away when he needs to. Yeah. I don't know how he's going to be when the time
but
comes.
But if Tangela can become a known quantity in the house, you would have to think that would drive a wedge to some degree between Casey and Angela. Are we calling her Angela now, or is it still Angela? So you would think that that would drive a wedge, and certainly between Brett as well, in terms of like knowing where he stands in level 6. And I do think that that could set up some sort of like exterminators type group with JC that could be a major threat to Tyler. I think that, look, in the stock watch, Taryn, I don't think it's a bad idea to maybe sell the Tyler stock this week. I think it's probably you're going to get a good return on investment.
Yeah, I mean, I think...
I don't want to be a nervous Nelly, but I'm telling you, I think that this is the first time in 8 weeks that I'm starting to say, I could see a way where this ends up going sideways for Tyler.
Yeah, the Tangela thing is dangerous. It very much is. Tangela just sounds better to me. I'm sorry, Pokemon fans. The Tangela thing, it's very dangerous to Tyler's game because Casey is such an integral part of it. And if Casey feels like, Sam already feels like Angela has replaced her. If Casey starts to feel like Angela has replaced her, then Tyler's in some real trouble because Casey can side with Brett, and if Brett gets any numbers in that sense, then Tyler could be in serious trouble. I do think that JC would side with Tyler, unless Tyler screws something up and makes JC feel like he can't work with him anymore. But I do feel like JC is hoping to take his two big dumb puppets to the end and then hope that they take him to the final two. I think he's a little more wary of Tyler. He knows Tyler is smarter than Fessy for sure. But I'm not as concerned that JC will turn on Tyler before before Brett's gone. I think JC wants Brett gone. He wants Casey, maybe even Angela gone. And then he might start looking at Tyler if he's got the option.
And the other important part of that is also, where does Sam lie in all of that? And I feel like that Sam could be sort of like the connective tissue, with Brett, with JC. If like all of those people are starting, Fessy as well, looking at Tyler, I think that's where, this could be like, you can't take your eye off the ball, Tyler. Hey, this Angela is bad news.
Yeah,
it's funny. Every time I'm thinking about the game, every time I'm like doing the rankings or whatever, when I'm thinking about not the house and the people inside, just the game, I forget Sam is there like 9 out of 10 times in terms of like the bonds and connecting the dots between people. I always forget that Sam exists as a player.
Yeah. All right. Let's take a few more questions here. Stan's funeral. So Fessy is certifiably bad. Would it benefit level 6 to start turning on each other before getting him out? Matt, what do you think about this?
They have to do it eventually. And I don't know if they're going to wait until there's one of them left. Because you have to imagine that if Fessy or Haley goes out next week following Scotty out the door this week, that Haley or Fessy, the one that stays, is not going to be the one who goes out next. I don't think so. This isn't, Big Brother 19 where Elena goes out and then it's guaranteed Mark is going to follow out the door. Mm-hmm. I do feel there are people like Brett who, if Fessy goes out next week, they'll bring Haley, he'll try to bring Haley in. Maybe even Angela will say, all right, maybe this is the week we have to get JC out. I think level 6 is going to break up sooner than a lot of people are expecting.
Okay. This is from Stephanie Borges. If it looks like an idiot and it talks like an idiot, it's an idiot. It's making a classic Fessy face, Taryn.
Yeah. Yes, definitely. I like the reversal on the duck situation there. I think I'm glad that we're standing up for ducks.
Yes. Okay. Here's a question from Trevor Chong. Wants to know, if someone goes out on an ally's HOH, whose fault is it? The HOH or the nominee? Jordan, do you have a thought on this?
It can be a little bit of both. I think it's a two-way street, but
it can happen.
It can happen, but I think in this case it's the HOH's fault. I mean, this is just so terrible, Fessy. So terrible. So I'm not going to blame. I mean, Scotty, yes, he should have fought harder when the whole who voted for Rockstar thing came out or who supported Rockstar. But yeah, come on, Fessy. This is again idiotic.
Okay. Aiden wants to know, given that Scotty goes home on Thursday, that means for the past 3 weeks, all three of Angela's nominees have gone home. Now, with this possible deal with Haley and Fess, what does Angela do from here to get to the end? I think that spoon with Tyler, right, Taryn?
Yes. I think Angela, Tyler will be convincing her to target Haley and Fessy next week if she ends up winning. I think that there's very little chance that Haley and Fessy, one of them, are not going to be going home next week. They would need to win HOH again, and then they would probably send Sam home instead of any one of the level 6 people.
Okay, this is from Steve, Summer of Steve 2018. No, a different
Summer of Steve 2018.
Last night, Sam told Scotty that she had her self-eviction speech ready. Has she given a timeline when she'll walk out? Please hurry. Now, Taryn, I know that it's always a possibility with Sam in terms of leaving, but if she did hypothetically self-evict, we have already talked about the timeline being a little screwy in terms of getting to 99 days. Having to figure out some way to either duplicate a week or to have somebody come back into the game. How would that throw everything off, Sam self-evicting? Because you couldn't have Sam self-evict and then still do the vote on Thursday. That would really throw things for a loop.
That's exactly that. That falls into her machinations, Rob. That is exactly what she is planning for. She told Brett, "Hey, Brett, if you're ever in trouble, if it ever looks grim, Brett, I will vote. I will self evict for you, and I will cancel the eviction."
She still has that bonus life.
Yes.
still willing to use it. Jordan, could you believe it when Caitlin had to do the 8-piece puzzle and couldn't get it back together?
Rob, I was so devastated. My heart just broke watching Caitlin just, I thought, oh, this is it. She's got it. It's a layup. This is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And, it just all fell apart. But according to Caitlin, I mean, it was, what was meant to be. So,
it's for the greater
good. I'm going to trust Caitlin. Yeah, it's for the greater good. So, you know what? We needed her on Book Cameo. So, apparently that's what we needed. And, I'm going to take her word for that. So, but yeah, I was still very disappointed.
Yeah. Jordan, are you on Book Cameo these days?
Come on, Rob. No, of course not. I'm not on Book Cameo. No, we got to save that for nobody wants, but people only want the messages from Polly Calafiore. They don't need or Brendan Viegas.
Jordan,
they don't
my man, what is good? Is anybody from Big Brother Canada?
If anyone in Big Brother Canada, I don't think is on there. If anything, like I need to buy Polly's messages. Like
I'll get you one.
I'm not the one selling mine. Yes, please do, Rob. That would be great.
All right. Is JC going to be the first one picked off once all of Faute, the Hive, are gone? Tara, I don't think it's going to be a straight pagonging of Faute, right?
No, I mean, I really, unless Haley wins the next HOH, then I think the eviction would likely be something like Sam, then Haley and Fessy. They might leave at that point. But if the next person to go is probably going to be one of Haley or Fessy, at that point, they might start turning inward. Tyler has already told JC, first person we're going after is Brett. Do not repeat that. Brett is the person. And part of that, I think, is because he recognizes that Brett has stolen Sam away from him. And so he needs to make sure that Brett goes first in order to maintain the loyalty of Sam. If he lets Brett get too far, then he'll have Sam on board. And he may even be able to swing over somebody like Haley if Haley is still in the game, because Brett has been playing that angle for a while. So Tyler recognizes the threat that Brett poses. And it would not surprise me at all if they started turning on each other very soon. And I do think that he would keep JC before he would keep Brett, but it does depend on what happens in the next couple of weeks.
Okay. This was from Torrance Armstrong. What angle should Scotty take to save himself this week? Matt, do you have a thought on this? So that if you were Scotty, what would be your Hail Mary?
I think he's off to a good start. Like I was saying before, I was trying to figure out if he was doing what he was doing, on purpose. And I think he is. I think turning himself into the anti, Haley and Fessy and saying, I have no trust in them. They put me up and now I'm going after them. It obviously depends on who his opponent will be. It's looking like it's going to be Casey. If he had gotten lucky and it was somebody, I don't know, somebody like maybe a Sam, maybe he could have said, keep me in the house because I will be a warrior against them. But it's against Casey, not much you can do.
Taryn, is there any hope for Scotty versus Casey?
There's really not. Like, thinking about, like, what can Scotty do? This is, I don't think there's anything he can do. Tyler talked with Level 6 about, like, what if for some crazy reason Scotty was somehow able to convince Fessy to put Haley on the block? What would we then vote out Haley? And they were like, Nah, we'd still vote Scotty out. There's nothing that he can do at this point. He would need to completely figure level six out, infiltrate them, turn them against each other, get one side to think that he's a weapon that they can use on the other side, and then convince those people to keep him in the game. And that's just a lot of work when he doesn't even know where to start.
All right. Let's do one or two more. Amal wants to know, is there a twin twist this season? Haley in the diary room and Haley in the house are two completely different people. Taryn, agree or disagree?
Definitely. These are two Haleys from different time periods is what's going on. There's some time travel happening in the diary room.
Okay.
I thought the twin twist was with Sam, the Sam that goes into the diary room and the Sam that comes out of the diary room.
Mm-hmm. Every morning. Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
Jordan, I wish I would have gotten into this at the top of the show. What's the update? What have you been up to besides everything you have going on with work and school?
Yeah, that's pretty much it, man. My life is very boring, Rob, and it's good. I enjoy it. I'm back to normalcy. I just graduated from college.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you very much. So I'm going to Teachers College starting in a couple weeks here. So that'll be a year long. And then once that is finished, I will be an elementary school teacher, hopefully. Cross my fingers, as long as nothing crazy happens between now and then. But yeah,
if you're
other than
ever
that,
sick, Jordan, will you have Fessy substitute for you?
After tonight, no. I don't think Fessy made the cut. I think I want my students to have someone of a higher quality, unfortunately.
Yes. Jordan, how's the fantasy football podcasting?
Fantasy football podcasting is good. I definitely do not. I've not had as much time as I would like. I'm working at a summer camp this summer as a camp counselor. So that's been fun, but it's taken up a lot of my time. So haven't had as much time as I would like to podcast. But if you like you're a fantasy football fan, you want to hear football talk, I do a I would say bi-weekly podcast called the Fantasy Football Canadians, if anyone wants to check that out. But yeah, that's all I've been doing. It's pretty boring, to be honest, but just with coming off of Big Brother Canada and then coming on the podcast and going to all these events and doing all these crazy things the past couple of years, I've really liked it. Having some privacy back in my life has been a very nice change for me at this point in time.
And of course, you could listen to Jordan as well talk about the Dallas Cowboys on the 32 Fans in 32 Days. I listened to that over the weekend, Jordan.
Oh, you did. Thank you for listening, Rob. Do you agree with me that the Dallas Cowboys will suck this year?
I don't follow them nearly as closely as you do. But if you think that Jordan is self-deprecating about himself, he's extra self-deprecating about his football team. He's very, very down on the Cowboys. That low expectations.
Yeah, we'll see. But Rob, you said that's the key to life, right? Yes, low expectations, yes. And then when things go well, you're very happy. So it's great.
Yes. All right. And Matt, thank you for joining us as well tonight, putting this all together.
I just had to make sure that if I was coming all the way out here to beautiful British Columbia, that we had to make sure we got some JP back in our lives. So happy this all worked out.
And we haven't commented on tonight, but what a great shirt, both of you guys tonight.
Oh,
of course.
Yes. Only the best for you guys.
Very good stuff. All right. Let's talk about what's coming up here on robhasawebsite.com. Okay. Of course. Hey, the RAJP B&B is back. Haley Strong with Mike and Liana, and they are playing some games. Check out another the monthly edition of the BBB&B with Mike and Liana. And, of course, the Survivor South Africa. Everybody's talking about the Survivor South Africa finale, birthday boy Bloom, and also Shannon Gates talk about the big finale from Survivor South Africa. Amazing Race Canada is also ongoing. Jordan, have you kept up with Amazing Race Canada?
I haven't, Rob, but the team that is in first right now, they both went to the same high school as me. They're from my hometown, Cloverdale, British Columbia. So Taylor and Courtney. I think those are that's his sister's name. So I hope they win. I'm rooting for them, but I have actually not seen any episodes yet. I need to catch up.
Okay. Well, when you get caught up, the Jess and Dan have the recap of the latest episode as well on our Rehap Ups. And then, the debut of a brand new podcast. Rob and Akiva need a podcast. Akiva Winokur and myself, my co-host from the Seinfeld post-show recap, we wanted to get back together. We couldn't decide on what to do, and so we have let destiny decide what the podcast is going to be about. Every single week, we have a wheel of podcast ideas, and every week we add to it and spin the wheel to decide what is going to be next week's show. And the first episode was a recap of season 3, episode 7 of the 80s sitcom Perfect Strangers, which is up on robhasawebsite.com. Taryn, have you ever heard of the show Perfect Strangers?
I have, actually.
Yes. Okay. Well, you need not have been a Perfect Strangers fanboy to get into the Perfect Strangers season 3, episode 7 recap that we covered on the first episode of Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast. Of course.
There you go.
Taryn will be back tomorrow morning. We'll see if he has any Perfect Strangers talk as well. When this is the LFC Roundtable. I'm so sorry. LFC Roundtable coming up Tuesday night. Of course, see if anybody sells the Tyler stock maybe for a profit this week before things maybe go sideways for Tyler. Usually 8:30 on Tuesday, right, Taryn?
Yes.
Okay. Be looking for that. Summer Stein as well on Monday. Get your questions in. Big Brother at robswebsite.com. Robswebsite.com/voicemail 323-282-RHAP. And of course, we'll be back to talk about the Zingbot Wednesday night. And we'll figure out what we're going to do for the special Zingbot show. Taryn, do you have any thoughts of how we should handle the Zingbot recap?
I don't know. Should we put on the robot voice for the whole thing?
I don't know. I was gonna invite people to zing us. I don't know exactly if I feel like that could go terrible.
it could go great. It could go terribly. It sounds like a podcast.
Yeah.
Just have one of us with bad internet come on, because we already sound like Zingbot.
Yeah. All right. And then, of course, the way that all of this nonsense is possible, robhasawebsite.com/patron. Thanks so much to our amazing patron community. To find out more about the benefits of becoming a Rob Has a Podcast patron, go to robhasawebsite.com/patron. Thank you so much, Scott St. Pierre, for all of that, putting all this together behind the scenes. Of course, follow Armstrong Taryn as well. Taryn, anything else tonight?
No, I think we're good.
Okay. All right. Very fun recap tonight. Can't wait to see how it all is going to play out on Wednesday. And next time you see me, Summer of Stein coming up on Monday. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.